Clinton series can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under the community events.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to announce the opening of Convergence, an audio documentary and sonic artwork by our artist-in-residence, Tessie Word. The opening will be Friday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Civilian Studios, 2210 North Lewis Avenue in Portland. Convergence examines the historical, environmental, and sociological ramifications of living in an imminent ecological disaster area, the tsunami zones of the Oregon coast near the mouth of the Columbia River. Through the use of phonographic recordings, radio transmissions, and original music, Convergence explores and interprets the cultural implications and the psychic terrain of daily life in the tsunami zone. Again, that's Convergence by KBOO Artist-in-Residence Tessie Word, opening Friday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Civilian Studios, 2210 North Lewis Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, November 12th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, Alejandro Juarez with Working Families, joins us to talk about what the midterms mean for working families, not the party and the people on the ground doing the work. Also, the trade agreement that President Obama has just scribbled with China, its consequent meaning for the environment, not good at all, and for labor, perhaps even worse. We also perhaps will be able to be joined by Mazen Kamsia with the International Middle East Media Center. Not always easy to get to reach people in that part of the world. Nonetheless, we may be able to talk to him about many things, political as well as the progress being made with the Palestine Natural History Museum, which he is a project that Mazen has been working on for some time now. That said, we have a few headlines to get to first before we talk with our guests. First, some notes from the Portland City Council, from Portland Cop Watch, and the progress being made on the compliance officer / community liaison position. Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch was there, but he didn't testify. He'd already sent in written comments, but written comments were plentiful on this issue. They very often are. So many of us here in Portland are affected by the decisions made by the City Council and obviously by the Police Bureau. They voted to appeal Judge Simon's order to appear for annual hearings, and it seemed then at the time that there were only three people testifying about the compliance officer community liaison position, and they were apparently the louder message than Handelsman felt that he could send. The council's action to appeal the order was seen as a slap in the face to the community, and a lot of interest in the process that accumulated was basically smashed on the floor. Instead, the council seems to have gotten the message that since no one spoke up to oppose the idea, despite much written comment, to oppose the idea of an out-of-town an individual filling this very, very important position, that it would be okay to ignore the handpicked committee, which advised the council not to consider the team from Chicago. On October 15th, written testimony was neutral. Once the comments from the interview panel were posted, they did some digging. Now they tend to agree with those interviewers. A lot more going on there. It is definitely worth taking a look at notes from these meetings, reading up on the commentary, and have a listen also to what the city council members said about this. It's so important. We have an extraordinary situation here in Portland with the police and the community. Whenever we seem to be making progress, meetings are held, the city council meets, people come in, they give testimony, written comments are submitted, and yet when push comes to shove, the police union closes ranks. It's very secretive. They close ranks, and we don't know exactly what their decision-making process is, but it almost inevitably winds up being in their favor and not in the best interest of the community that they are paid to serve. That said, we move right along. Much happening. Environmental issues. Notice that right off the blocks, the Alberta Clipper, it's an already existing pipeline, 450,000 billion barrels a day capacity. November 2012, Enbridge, that one, applied for a permit to ramp up capacity nearly twice as much, to 800,000 for the pipeline, which runs from Alberta to Wisconsin to Oklahoma to the Gulf Coast, where the oil will be refined and exported. You see what I mean? This was already a done deal. We were talking about 2012. Look at the results of the midterm elections. Look at the speed with which this was accomplished. A lot more on that later. We're going to be speaking with Anastasia Pancios with EcoWatch on this topic probably tomorrow. Mazen Kimsian points out that on Israeli television, when asked if he agrees with the idea that Israel is... Well, we've talked about that before. We'll get back to it. More on Portland Cop Watch also. Right now, however, we have Alejandro Juarez with Working Families. Good morning, Alejandro. And we're delighted to have you on the show today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, the Working Families Party did well, not as well as many of us would have liked. Of course, I mean, given the structure, given the architecture of power that is in place in this country, it's extraordinary. What Working Families has accomplished is amazing. And in this rather dismal political climate that we face for the next few years, Working Families has a great deal of, work to do. One of the problems, of course, is that working families, that implies many working families have three or four jobs just to keep a roof over the family and put food on the table. It takes everything, every moment of time. And this has been an effective tactic on the part of the one percenters who keep people from forming communities. So the Working Families Party is indeed important and unique. Can you please talk about the midterm elections and what the strategy is moving forward?
Sure. So I think, you know, the elections were dismal for the rest of the country, but not so much for Oregon. There was a red tsunami that swept the country, okay. but it didn't really reach Oregon. And I think part of that is that Oregon is unique. We do have fusion voting in Oregon, which allows candidates to be nominated by multiple parties, which is only something that happens in a couple of states. And also, you know, we now have majorities in both the House and the Senate and the state legislature, which will make some of our decisions will make it a lot easier to make some decisions in Oregon, especially for some of our priority issues that Working Families is working on. For example, earned sick days and debt-free higher education through the Pay It Forward program. However, the ballot measures we weren't so good on the ballot measures. While populist ideas swept the nation, like raising the minimum wage and earned sick days, happened across the country. In Oregon, we kind of voted against our own interests regarding things like the driver's cards and Measure 86, which would have allowed school grants for students through bonding. And the only economic issue that actually, well, something that has an economic tie to the state would have been legalizing marijuana. And indirectly, that affects our work, too, since so many people are become part of the criminal justice system because of something like marijuana. But for working families, I think we're going into the legislature, the 2015 legislature, pretty optimistic that we will be able to get some things done that would actually help the community rather than continue to work towards the profits. And I think in general, you know, with the open primary situation here, I think, you know, it opened up a conversation for people. I think the Yes on 90 side failed to articulate how it would be better than the current system that we have. But people are not necessarily happy with the two-party system right now.
Yes, the open primaries issue was confusing more than it needed to be. Alejandro, we're pretty much out of time. I want to let listeners know that I want to invite Alejandro Juarez with the Working Families Party back on the show for a longer session, a half hour, perhaps, or an hour would be ideal, and we can take calls and talk about ideas, strategies, or how to restructure the way that wealth is distributed. And we can start right here in Oregon because indeed, as Alejandro points out, the results of the midterms were not so severe, perhaps so severe in Oregon as they were across the country, and as important to keep up the momentum. Alejandro, before we let you go, could you let listeners know where they can follow along with the Working Families Party? These issues, all of these issues, are of enormous import to all of us. And supporting working families is one of the best ways that I can think of to effect a positive change that we can really test. So do we just Google working families?
Oh, no, you go to www.workingfamilies.org/Oregon. Or you can find us on Facebook by just searching for Oregon Working Families.
Easy to do. Many thanks. And we look forward to have a longer talk with you at a later date. Thanks very much for speaking with Alejandro Juarez with Working Families. Thanks again for that. And we go now to Mazen Khamsia speaking to us out of occupied Palestine and in a part of the world where extraordinary violence is taking place. And yet in the midst of the violence, there's a natural history museum with a science fair going on. Good morning, Mazen. Thank you so much for being with us today, taking the time.
Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
We always want your voice. We always love having your voice on the show. Could you talk to our listeners a little bit about right now in Palestine? Could you bring us an update, sort of an audio version of International Middle East Media Center's overview of news stories, because what's going on there indeed affects us.
Yeah.
Israel being a client state and all.
Yeah. Well, basically what's happening in these days is like getting to the end of the road for this colonial program, because Israel, as you know, was established by destroying 530 Palestinian villages and towns in 1948, and this has created the largest refugee problem after the Second World War. And it's ongoing since 1948, what we call the ongoing Nakba, which is the ongoing catastrophe of destruction of what's left of Palestine, what's left of Palestinians. And now Israel is narrowing down on Jerusalem, basically. And Jerusalem is a very hot-button issue, because it's a holy city for 1.6 billion Muslims and, of course, over 2 billion Christians in the world. And Israel wants to make this city a Jewish city, so to speak, and wants to remove any native Palestinian presence, Christian and Muslim, in Jerusalem, and has been intensifying these efforts over the past few months. And what we see now is a reaction to this. this extreme violence by the Israeli colonial authorities, we see some response from some Palestinians taking matters into their own hand by doing essentially desperate acts of resistance. And so this is, I think it's coming towards the last stages of this project, if you want, because we either have a way in which colonialism wins here at some level and we have destruction of the whole of Palestine, or we have a reversal, which I think is happening, a reversal of the fortunes of Zionism and the revival of the native power of resistance.
Mazen, we're out of time. That is exactly the note that we want to leave it on, because there is a shift in the power structure right now. I think many people are noticing it across the world. The strident voices of Zionism are being quashed by this massive wave of peaceful resistance. Some not so peaceful, but there's many people in the world waking up realizing this cannot be allowed to happen, that the loss of Palestine is a loss for all of us, so it won't happen. And we've been speaking with Mazen Qamsia, who's with the International Middle East Media Center, and of course the founder of the Palestine Natural History Museum. This has been El Cascadia for Wednesday, November 12th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today for us. Thanks very much, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.